It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Alright everybody, how you guys doing? This is Marshall Couture, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How are you guys doing? I'm doing alright. And guess what? We got a special guest again here. Mr. Scott Circland. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Marshall. How are you? It's been, we've been trying to get this thing set up for a while now.
Yeah, yeah. The way I set all this stuff up is basically I say, hey, you ready now? You ready now? It's not the most professional, but I don't ever have like any time I can actually schedule. So I'm glad we were able to get it in.
Yeah, finally.
I've been wanting to talk to you for a while on this. So, but yeah, so, I mean, big news. I guess first, yeah, we got to start. You know, let everybody know who you are, what you do, where they can find you, and stuff.
Okay, my name is Scott Circland. My company is called Circworks, and it's spelled S-E-R-K-W-O-R-K-S, and it's Circworks.com, where you can find most of my stuff. And then I'm on all the other social networks, usually under Circworks or my actual name. And the best way to, I guess, to explain kind of what I do is I have this tagline, and it's robots, aliens, zombies, and other imminent threats to humanity. So basically, the kind of banner of what I do, it's this, it's almost like an imaginary mad scientist supply company. So I design a lot of prints and comics and things like that. And what it is it's, if you were to be a mad scientist and you need to buy supplies or whatever. So I've got a lot of like propaganda, like that has to do with the aliens and zombies and all that kind of stuff. And I do a comic book that's kind of zombie themed and just all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that makes sense. It makes a lot more sense when you kind of go to the website or whatever, but yeah, so I do just that. I do all kinds of, I like to do sci-fi stuff. It's a lot of sci-fi retro future type stuff, like prints and things. Like if you were to be living in the 50s, what you might think the future would look like. That's kind of what that's kind of the Circworks brand, I guess you would say.
Right.
And then I do other stuff on the side. Every once in a while I'll do some fan art here and there, but for the most part that's what I'm all about.
Nice. So yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. And I guess, you know, I would really, you know, like to have the legendary pitch for your book too, because I've heard it so many times, and to have it be on my podcast would be an honor.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the thing that I learned just from, because I used to be involved in children's entertainment and everything, I produced a kid's show and all that stuff. And one of the things they taught me when you're doing a pitch is you need to try to make it relatable and quick. So one of the easiest ways to do that is to kind of take two things that everyone should be familiar with and combine them if that fits your project, which it kind of does in my case. So my book is called Young and the Dead, and it's kind of a cross between Goonies and Night of the Living Dead. It's kids versus zombies. It's kind of my homage or kind of a throwback to all those 80s kid adventure movies like Goonies and Monster Squad and even like E.T. and then there's some other ones. And just, in the 80s, there's just a lot of movies that kind of had kids as the stars, and they go on adventures and things like that, and there's not too much of the, you know, that's not really as prevalent right now as far as, you know, movies go. So I wanted to kind of capture all that and make a comic book that's kind of, you know, it's like if I was a kid, it's, a lot of the characters are based on me or friends that I had growing up loosely. And it's like if we were actually in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, more or less. So it's this imaginary, you know, I kind of take things that happen in my life, but throw in zombies and all that kind of stuff. So
awesome. And, you know, I remember, you know, when we first did the Art and Story dump truck and everything, and, you know, we got all the books in the mail because we all did our own, like, mini comic and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, I always will always remember getting yours in the mail. I mean, it stood out, you know. I mean, there was a lot of really good stuff that people were sending out, but yours definitely stood out, you know, and, you know, all the cutout stuff you had. I think that was the one you had the hands, right? That was all
the
hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, like, so awesome, and I was like, I'm like, what is this? Like, how do I work this? Like, and then, you know, I finally got it all opened up, and it was a really good read. Like, I was impressed and pretty much on every angle of it, so, you know.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, maybe we should explain to kind of what that dump truck thing was. So
sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, so like a lot of other things that I've been involved with lately, like I'm sure we'll touch on the 100 Days of Making Comics, but the mini comics dump truck was something that an artist named Kevin Cross kind of created. I assume he created it. But it was basically just a mini comic, and I guess there was one iteration of that before I kind of joined in, so I was kind of involved in the second version of that, you two as well, Marshall. There's a group of us, but it was kind of back in the art and story days. It might have been kind of towards the end of that. So some of the people that listened to Art and Story, which was a podcast, how to make comics style podcast, but there was a forum and everything. We kind of, I guess, did it through that. But the idea was that everyone would have 6 months to create a mini comic, and at the end, everyone could, you know, share their comic with all the other participants. So you just kind of put the time in, you make your own comic, and then at the end, everyone else who's making comics, you know, you're getting all these cool comics that other people have created. So, yeah, it was really cool, and I think the idea was that it was supposed to be just like, I don't know, was it like 6 to 8 pages? And somehow I decided that I'm going to take this opportunity to try to do a full-page comic book. And I did it, I think it really helped me, and it really, I'm so glad I did it, because even though the mini comics dump truck after that, it really hasn't resurfaced or hasn't continued. It's kind of, that's when I first did this comic book, Young and the Dead. That's where I first conceived of it. And the weird thing was I originally was trying to think of something simple, and I thought, well, you know, I was thinking zombies are easy. So I had a couple of different ideas. I had this one where it was sort of I wanted to do just zombies because I thought it would be, you know, I wasn't even like the biggest zombie fan. Right. Other than I saw the original, like, Night of the Living Dead and everything, and I enjoyed it. But besides that, I wasn't really familiar with zombies, but I knew it was kind of there was a big crowd around it and a lot of enthusiasts that like zombie stuff. So I thought, well, I'll just do, it'll be easy. It's just zombies just attacking people or whatever, you know. So I had a couple ideas. I had one that was like the one that I did, which is kind of like Goonies meets Night of the Living Dead. And then I had another one that was kind of, it was, and I might even still do it because it still sounds fun to me, but I don't know. I've got to do all my other stuff, and I don't know that I want to do zombies. Everything, every comic book I do be zombie themed, but the other one was like kind of a Robinson Crusoe meets zombies, like a guy stranded on a deserted island somewhere, and somehow there's zombies on it. So you basically have no weapons and no way to escape or anything like that. So I thought that was kind of a fun concept. But in the end, I went with the first one, and what I thought was just going to be a simple thing, I really started to get into it, and I started liking the characters and enjoying writing it, and it became more than just a simple book that I thought. It kind of, it became something I had a real passion for and everything, so...
You kind of, in some ways, you remind me of how I go about projects, like in the fact that I often will get into an idea, and then I'll have like shoot off ideas, and then it'll become like a bigger story, and then like, oh, I want to do this, and you know, the promotion aspect, and like then it gets to a point where it's so overwhelming where, for me, I would quit.
Yeah.
For you, you do it. Well, you actually do the thing.
You know, that's another thing that the mini comics dump truck thing kind of helped me out with, because before I was like that, you know, and I I would just, I'd start something and I'd keep redoing it to death, and I would just never go anywhere. So it was kind of having that people depending on you to finish this thing, because at the end you've got to trade them with other people, that I said to myself, I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to, because I would do sketches upon sketches, and I would scan things into the computer. And this is because I don't work digitally, at least not right now, except for, I mean, at least the drawing part I never do digitally, which I think I want to, because I see all these people can save so much time. But my process is I would just do sketches of like a character or a panel, and I'd take all my different sketches and then I'd compile them in Photoshop, and I'd start, you know, cutting and pasting them with the ones I liked, and then I'd print it out, and then I'd sketch over that, and it just took forever. So I said, look, I start with thumbnails and the script and everything, but right after the thumbnails, it was just, I'm just going to start right on the page, which I had never done before. And as I started to do it, it started working out and everything. And that's kind of still the way I work today. And it's not, you know, I'll finish a page and I'll look at it and I'll see things that I might want to change or whatever. But to me right now, it's more important just to get something done and out there rather than try to get it to be perfect, because it's never going to be perfect. Now I could make it better than I have, you know, when I'm finished with it or whatever, but it's still not going to be perfect. So I just rather kind of get it done. And then, you know, so that was something that kind of helped me out a lot with, because now I have books, you know, it's more important for me to have a couple books that I can actually show people than one great piece that I can look at and say, this is, you know, I'm really, really, really happy with this. But it's one page, you know. So to me, that was a little more important. And I just, you know, the more I do this, the more you find things that work, and you try to, and it's difficult because, I mean, I've got bad habits like everyone else, but it's sometimes you kind of get in these, you got to get to a point where you can try to avoid whatever bad habits based on things that haven't worked for you in the past, and try to cut those out and try to do things differently, I guess. Because what do they say about the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results?
Yeah, that's a popular thing that people say these days, for sure. And I actually been thinking about that little phrase, because I don't know, I think there's a little more to insanity too. I think that definitely is an aspect of it. But yeah, absolutely. And so I guess there's like so many different ways to go from here, but I guess one of the natural things is, first of all, you know, congratulations on completing your 100 days of making comics, man. I mean, that's so awesome. And I kind of missed a lot of people's posts because I've been busy doing some other stuff at the moment, and trying to catch up with these videos is really tough, but you know, that's so awesome that you finished, and yeah, congratulations, man.
Thanks. Yeah, that's another weird thing that sometimes you decide to do something and not really know what's in store for you, and that was kind of one of those things, because, you know, I thought, yeah, I'm gonna give this a shot and I think I can do it. And at that point, there were a lot of, in addition to Kevin Cross again who started it, there were a lot of other people that were doing it, yourself included. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. And man, it was it was fun. I really enjoyed doing it, but it was like doing one of these videos every single day. I mean, it was like, wow, it's you know. But there were so many other good things that came out of it. I mean, just the community that surrounds the whole 100 Days of Making Comics crowd is awesome. And just getting further along in my book project, which, you know, I may have probably been able to do that without the 100 days, but there's more to, I guess, just creating the comic than just making the comic. You also people need to know about it. And, you know, and gradually as you do all these videos once a day, you know, people become aware of it and everything. And it's still, you know, I don't have a huge following by any means or any stretch of the imagination, but it's, there's a seed there that seems like it's growing. So as long as I keep with it, you know, I mean, you ask anyone who's done YouTube or anything like that, or web comics or anything, the people that are successful are the people that have been doing it for a while. So it takes a long time, but I just look at this as kind of the beginning of that stage, because I've got, you know, I've got plans to, now that I finished this 100 Days of Making Comics challenge, I want to, you know, continue to do other videos and still, you know, stay, you know, on top of YouTube and all that kind of stuff, because I'd really, you know, I always struggle with like social media in general, because when I'm working, I'll get in the zone and everything, and I'll, you know, I just kind of shut everything else out, and, you know, in a lot of ways, people, you know, that I'll talk to friends and you know, that don't kind of do this for a living or whatever, and they're like, well, yeah, you don't need to be on Facebook all the time and everything, but when it's part of your business and letting people know about it and everything, I mean, it really is crucial to be involved in social media, and I'm just haven't really been that good at it, but. I think the 100 days and YouTube, and it's weird that I stayed away from YouTube for so long. You know, I played around with, you know, Facebook, and I'm, you know, on there from time to time, and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but I never really did anything with videos or whatever, but it seems, you know, it seems like I think I may have found something that I enjoy doing, these videos and everything, so it's yeah, cool.
Absolutely, and man, like, I think a lot of people have found that out, and I think that, a lot of times with all these social media things, it seems like you, me, Javier Hernandez, like, a lot of these guys, Jamie Gamble, like, all these guys, all these guys who were first at, like, Art and Story, you know, messing yeah. around with that a lot, we kind of always, like, almost like a tribe, move from thing to thing together. Like, every time I go somewhere new that I see, like, all everybody else is there, too. And it's like, we kind of gravitate to the same stuff. It's kind of funny. But I think this video thing that Kevin Cross started with the 100 Days of Comics, I think it really enriched everything that we were all doing. You know, that probably combined with Jeff Lafferty's videos and stuff like that. I think those two, like, it was like that 1-2 punch, and it's like, okay, now we're all on YouTube.
Yeah, and it's weird, because there's got to be other, you know, there's got to be other art communities out there. Obviously, there's got to be tons of them, but it's weird how, and there's people that drop off and join in along the way, but it is weird that all this stuff, a lot of the people that are doing that were held over from, like, Art and Story, and even before I was aware of Art and Story, I think I was introduced to that from the big illustration Party Time that I keep. I guess everything I want to say is kind of plugging Kevin Cross, but yeah, that was another one of his podcasts. So, and somebody we used to do this thing because I live sort of west of Phoenix, and most of the kind of creative jobs and everything are more Central Phoenix or East Valley, so we started this, me and a few other people that lived on the west side of Phoenix, started this thing called West Side Creatives, where we would just go and meet, you know, and talk to other people who are doing creative stuff. So somebody had mentioned that they were listening to this podcast, this Big Illustration Party Time, and at that point I was like, what's a podcast? So, you know, and then I started listening. Now I listen to podcasts and stuff all the time, so it's just funny to see. But yeah, it's just like all this, it is like all these people kind of migrate from one thing to another. And a lot of it's just the same people. And then, like I said, new people join in and everything, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I've always dug it. Like, it kind of felt, made things feel like home wherever I went, you know, artistically and stuff. And I think you're right to plug Kevin Cross, because I think he's definitely a big torch holder for a lot of things, and I don't think he purposefully necessarily does it, but a lot of people dig his stuff and they relate with him on a music level and on an art level, and he's just a cool guy and entertaining dude. So, you know, definitely kudos to him, you know, for kind of lighting the fire with this, and even though it may not even have been intentionally. And, you know, I also wanted to say, kind of comment on something you touched on a little bit there, was you know, throughout all this time, since, like, Art and Story, we had, like, you know, the forums and all that, and, you know, I kind of got to know you through that a little bit with the mini comics and stuff. And then I always saw your stuff here and there, you know, as through all these things we were all migrating to. And, you know, I mean, I think about you actually a lot when I think about how important it is to kind of put out either audio or video content. Because, like, I saw kind of your stuff coming through, but I never really knew exactly what was going on. I just knew you, like, made really cool stuff, and I always remember that mini comic. And I didn't even know a second Young and the Dead came out until you started doing the 100 Days of Comics. And then once I started watching these videos, like, I really got to know who this Scott Cirklin guy was. And, you know, he's actually doing, like, the illustration thing, and he's, you know, making a living doing that. And then I started digging into your website, and I'm like, wow, he's really put out a lot of stuff since, you know, we first kind of got acquainted. And then I got to know your personality. And, I mean, just that whole video thing is, it's such an enhancement to any kind of online presence, you know. It's really a big testament to that, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we do as artists, it's almost equal amounts your personality and who you are as it is what you're creating. So that's why, you know, before I kind of, you know, let my personality out, I mean, I was always weird about doing videos, even though, like, when I was a kid, I'd do these kind of Saturday Night Live type spoof videos and all these, you know, just stupid stuff when I was a kid, way before YouTube, which, if YouTube was around then, maybe I'd be one of these YouTube millionaires, I don't know, but I kind of put that aside, and I'm like, yeah, now I'm a little bit too old for that kind of stuff. And, but yeah, I mean, sometimes just getting on there and acting the fool and just kind of just doing whatever, or just talking to people, and it took me a while to get used to that. And you can kind of see the progression from when I first started on the episode one up until the end. And there's, like, the first episode I shot, I mean, I structured it a little more. I knew what I was going to talk about, but it was kind of a little stiff and everything, but there was some content there. And towards the end, I'm just kind of winging it, and you just get better at it. And it's before that, I had done some videos of me working on some props and things like that for my booth, and I wouldn't even show my face. You just see my hands working on stuff. And, you know, if I was going to do it now, I would definitely do, and I have the table in front of me and show how to do all that kind of stuff. So, which I might, you know, might do something like that in the future. But, sometimes you just got to get over your fears and not, you know, I guess I was worried too much what people might think about me, or, you know, maybe I don't look that great on camera or whatever. But you just kind of, once you do it, you'll find that, you know, at least for me, I've never really had any negative reaction to anything I put out there. Of course, I think when you're smaller, I don't think people are going to go over and attack you and stuff. I guess if you get huge on YouTube, then you're going to have, because everyone says, oh, don't read the comment sections. Read the comment sections on YouTube. But I think that's more for bigger people, where if you're so big, you're kind of, people are kind of removed and they're willing to attack you and stuff like that. But all I've had is love from everything that I've put out on YouTube so far. So,
well, we travel around in the comics community, and, you know, I've been involved with a lot of communities, and comics community by far has been the nicest. I mean, not everybody's awesome, but for the most part, everybody's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that, you know, I want to kind of just continue with a little bit with what we were saying is, the thing I think that I get now from seeing your videos, and people also, I can tell, get from, like, listening to my podcasts or things that I do, and other people as well, is it's just that connection. Like, you know, before you were this guy who made a really cool comic, and I kind of saw you here and there, but there was no personality to it. Because, I mean, there was, like, you put it in your work, but at the same time, there's only so much that can do, you know. And, like, now, it's like Scott Cirklin, CirkWorks.com. Like, I'll always know where to go and to point people to, you know. And, like, I don't know, there's a certain connection there. Like I remember, I always feel this way when I listen to podcasts, too. Like, especially, like, Jersey or something, or, you know, Mark Rudolph, all those guys from back then, and just newer guys, like Jeff Lafferty and stuff. Like, it's funny because when you go to actually talk to them, like, you almost feel like you're their buddy, you know, because you've heard them so much, you know, in your ear, like, you know about them, but they almost don't even know who you are, maybe, because, I mean, some of those guys, I do know who I am because I've connected with them, but, you know, a lot of times it's just a one-sided thing, and that connection is so strong, like, it's just, it's amazing. You know, for the listener, you know, or their watcher, basically.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think, you know, talking about personalities and things, because, I mean, there's so many people out there that draw or do this or that. But exactly. I think what kind of separates it, like with you, you draw, but you also do like music and you do all this other stuff. And that's what makes you an individual. And that's what makes people gravitate to what you're doing, where, you know, it's the other things that kind of creep into your artwork, because you have that, you know, that hip hop look and feel that kind of goes into the comic books and when you do your like custom toys and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of like a brand upon itself and everything. So, I mean, that it's to me, it's like, I always say, like, kind of play to your strengths. Like for me, you know, I have really no musical ability at all, but you know, one thing that I am pretty good at is like presentation and things like that, because I used to do set design and stuff like that. So when I do, you know, if it's videos or a convention or whatever, I try to use that to my advantage, because that's one thing that I think I'm pretty good at. So so you know, whatever, sure, everyone, you know, all the artists, you're doing art. But what is it about your art that makes it special? What is it? What else do you do that kind of, you know, you could say the same thing about like Kevin Cross. He's kind of got a punk rock kind of edge to the artwork that he does. And that's what makes, you know, I'm sure there's other people that have that kind of thing too, but that's kind of what makes him an individual. So, you know, beyond just, oh, I do, you know, I do this type of, you know, fan art or whatever, that's kind of what I'm into. It's kind of what else, I don't know, it's what, you know, what other parts of your personality can kind of show through to your artwork and everything. And it definitely helps a lot when you're, because you said, like you said before, you can kind of see some of that stuff in the artwork, but if you don't have access to the person creating it, and you don't see them either on YouTube or hear them through a podcast, then it's difficult to really see where they're coming from. So I think that's a big part of it. I mean, it's your personality. Like I said, your personality is a big part of the artwork that you create and getting and letting people know what it's all about.
Absolutely. And there's subtle things too. Like, yeah, there's like kind of the more like not my stuff's like hip hop, and you know, there's some kind of obvious things you can kind of pull out of it, but there's subtle things that I wouldn't even necessarily know how to describe, you know, even to the point of, you know, you see this person talking and you're like, you know, I feel like I could probably work with this guy, you know, like that kind of thing. Like, you know, you just get these little feelings and, you know, some people, you know, you might like one person's stuff and not like another person's stuff. But I don't know, seeing that personality gives definitely a strength to their work. It kind of breathes life into it. And like you said, everybody and their mother is making comics. Like, so it's like, oh, yeah, that's another guy who makes comics. I talked to him a few times online. That's another guy. But, you know, I feel like there's a bunch of other guys from maybe Art and Story or just people I've met through all these places that if they started doing videos or doing, like, audio, I would, same thing, you know, I would just be, like, way connected. And I think that's a big edge, you know. YouTube especially, like, YouTube is a place, I think, you know, now kind of talking to some of the listeners, YouTube is a place you have to be almost. Like, I know video's not for everybody, and, you know, maybe there's ways, like Scott was saying, he even did stuff where he only showed his hands, you know, and stuff. So it was kind of like a, what's that Dr. Seuss thing? You only see the hands, and what's that? There's that one book, the one with the trees, the Lorax or whatever, and you only see the guy's hands coming out of the, that big, like, tall, like, house or whatever. And I don't know, like, you could even do that though, like something where you don't see your face but you hear the person talking. But YouTube, I mean, the thing is it's the second biggest, you know, search engine in the world. So it's like, you want to be there. if you want to market on your stuff online and make it into some kind of business or something, you know, you kind of need to have that social online thing as well as the, you know, the press in the flesh, you know, one-on-one type stuff too.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm kicking myself for not, for waiting so long to kind of get on YouTube. I should have done it a lot earlier, but, oh, you know, what can you do but go forward, so.
Yeah, but you know what? We're all still pretty darn young, you know, in the grand scheme of things, and the internet is still very young. I mean, there's, just keep pushing at it, you know, and now you have over, you know, what do you have now? Like 120 videos now.
Yeah, maybe more, I don't know.
Yeah, content out there, and that stuff will only grow and grow, you know, as people start to get to know you, you know. You get more views on that, and, you know, I say keep at it, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing. I just had a little break, but now it's like, now I got to get back, because I don't want to fall off so much that people forget about me, you know?
Right.
So, you know, and I've got some big plans for stuff to do in the future, but I'm not ready yet, so I think what I'll probably do is I'll just pop on and just kind of let people know, just kind of like what I was doing before, but less frequently, just what I'm doing until I think get everything set up with this new idea that I have, so.
Right. So, and I think it's actually a really good thing to be consistent, and honestly, I think on YouTube, it's good to have a few videos a week.
Yeah.
I think you can do it other ways and stuff, but, like, just one a week, I don't know if that does... I mean, that is good, but I don't think it does the trick like it does if you're there a few days a week.
Yeah.
Personally, that's just what I think, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I guess first one thing I wanted to get into was how is... this issue of the comic going, how far are you at, and you know, do you kind of have an end goal in sight, or?
Yeah, well, what I've always done, and it's weird for me to say this because it sounds like it doesn't sound like a lot, but I like to get at least one issue done a year, and right. It's only like a 22-page issue, and I know like Marvel and DC they put out issues every month, but they're also getting paid to do it, and they're also like there's a whole team of people working on it.
Right.
But, you know, in addition to the comics, I do other stuff. You know, I do my prints and all that kind of stuff, which when I go to a show or whatever, that's what makes the money and pays for the table and earns me a profit. It's not so much the comic, but the comic is what I like to do, but it's just so time intensive and everything. So, and I don't do a lot of shows right now. I've only been doing a couple a year, actually, but I want to do more, and it's, I want to when each year rolls around and the same kind of crowd comes through, I want to have a new issue for them to read. So by, you know, I still have plenty of time to get this one done, because I just want it done by around next summer when some of the major, I used to say Comic-Con season, but now they're pretty much year round.
Yeah, they're all the time.
but you know, in general, they're all, each show is usually happens on the same time a year as it did the year before. So as long as I can have a new issue every year to kind of show people, and then eventually when it's, you know, when I can complete the story, when it's, you know, which I'm on issue 3 right now, there's going to be at least 5 issues, if not 6, before I'll wrap up the story. So once that's done, then I really want to really promote it, and I want to hopefully by that time I'll be, you know, doing these videos and everything, and more people will know about it, and I'll be in a position where I can do a successful Kickstarter, because, you know, that's not something I want to leave to chance. I really want to make sure that I have a following behind me before I can do that. And then I want to get the book printed as a trade, you know, the whole, you know, kind of like a graphic novel format, and depending on if the Kickstarter is successful, how elaborate that's going to be, because if you've seen some of my artist editions, you know, I like to go a little crazy with that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's the ultimate goal. But as far as issue 3 goes, the one I'm working on right now, I think I've got page up to page 6 penciled, and I think I'm inking page 5 right now, and then I'm gonna probably ink page 6 and I'll get back to penciling. So I'm just kind of going back and forth. So hopefully, you know, I want to, it's, you know, one of the things that the 100 days did do is it kind of ate up some of the extra time that I had to work on it because of all the editing and stuff. So now that I don't do one of those videos every single day, I should have a little more time to work on it. But then also, I got to pay the bills with, you know, my, you know, contract illustration and all that kind of stuff. So.
Right. So I guess something that kind of dawned on me, and I don't know, I'm sure you must have talked about it in one of your videos, but I think it'd be an interesting question to ask is, you know, there's this whole thing that, you know, when Kevin started out and Jeff Lafferty talking about it and stuff too, is, you know, a lot of these people, either they work in illustration, which you do, you know, full time, or they do other jobs, but they really want to do art. And, you know, a lot of people, I guess, are trying to break away because the illustration industry supposedly, and I don't know that well because I've never been that much in it, but the illustration industry, you know, isn't paying as well and things like that. So a lot of people are trying to move into their own creator-owned work and stuff and see if they can make that into, you know, a living. I just was curious, like, what your thoughts were on that whole situation, especially being somebody who's been involved for so many years in the illustration world.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, definitely is not what it used to be. I mean, it was definitely a lot easier to earn a living doing illustration back when I first started. Yeah. And it is tough, and but it's possible. And I mean, right now, me, it's just up and down and up and down. But it's, you know, when it's good, it's pretty good, and it's, you know, it's what I like to do. So, you know, I just keep trying to plug along, and I've kind of got an offer that's kind of open, that this startup company I'm hoping it happens, because it would be steady work, but it's also, it kind of combines everything that I do, from like the kind of the set design and the character design and like all the different things that I really like to do. And if that happens, I'll be real happy, because it's, you know, I've got, you know, I'm a single dad, I got 3 kids and everything, so it's not always that easy to make ends meet. So it would not be nice to have like a steady income. Like right now I've got a decent sized project, that it's a game design project that'll probably last for a while, but once that's up, you know, it's hard, because you can't really, it's taking up a lot of time, so I can't really look for a lot of other work. But once that dries up, it's very difficult. But you know, I just do, you know, what I can. I think a lot of it just has to do with, the reason why I can continue to do it, I think, is just because I've been doing it so for so long, and I've made some connections. But sometimes it's hard, like, because I have a certain amount that I want to earn, like per hour, or that I kind of base, you know, I usually do like a flat rate for a project or whatever, but there's a certain amount that I want to earn, and unfortunately it's pretty much the same it's pretty much the same amount that I was asking for back when I first started, so it hasn't gone up anymore. But even that, people are just not, a lot of people aren't, they're like, oh, that's way too much, you know, I can get somebody else to do that for way cheaper. And a lot of times you can, but a lot of times that work's not as good, or, you know, and it's more, again, even with the freelance, with illustration and everything, it's not just the work of the person, because there can be an awesome artist, but he or she may not be able to produce work on time, they may not be able to, you know, communicate well, and all these other stuff that goes along with doing this professionally. So because I've just kind of been doing that for so long, the people that hire me are usually pretty happy with what I do and everything. And but I'll, you know, if it's a project, say if it's kind of like a project that people are asking for artists to bid on or whatever, you know, I'm never gonna be able to, you know, go down to what some of these other people are wanting to make, because some people are just happy making less than minimum wage doing this stuff. And I can't do that. So it's, you know, out of, say if I were to bid on like 10 jobs, I may get one, but that one is probably going to make me about as much as those other 9 that didn't want to pay me anything for. So
right.
That's kind of, and it's, you know, and it's, and I kind of, for the most part, I try not to compromise because, you know, and I've been in positions where, like, oh, you know, I just don't have much right now. If I just did this for, like, half or a quarter of what I usually charge, at least it'd be enough, be some money coming in. But a lot of times I think to myself, well, you know what? This is going to be a headache because there's other work that's going to come around that's going to pay more, and then I'm going to be tied down to this one project that's just taking forever and I'm not getting paid anything for. So I don't know if I'm kind of getting on a tangent right now, but
no, that's good. I can kind of relate, even though I haven't done too much like in the professional illustration world. I have worked on a lot of projects with people and for people, and you know, I mean, and this is mostly like friends and stuff, you know, and it's usually a collaborative project. So I sometimes kind of feel like that, even though it has nothing to do with pay because it's a collaboration, you know, I feel like I'm kind of on to the next thing, but I do have to do this thing to, you know, I did say I would do this, so I got to do it, you know, type of thing. But, you know, I just have a regular, you know, 9-to-5 manual labor type of job. So, you know, that's really what pays the bills.
You know, I was going to say there's a lot of people that say that that's better, because a lot of people that, you know, say when you do this stuff for a living, usually you're working for somebody else, which, you know, when the stuff that pays my bills, I'm working for other people. I'm doing other people's, what their ideas and what they want and everything, or for their company or whatever. And, you know, I guess I've still been able to be motivated to do my own stuff. But a lot of people say that when they have these creative type jobs, it just, by at the end of the day, they don't want to draw or do anything else because they've been doing that all day for other people. So,
right.
A lot of the people that have jobs, their jobs that kind of make their living that are outside the creative field, I think it allows them to be a little more creative a lot of the times.
Yeah, it kind of does, maybe. But same thing, though. I'm tired at the end of the day, and I don't want to do anything, too. But usually I get a second wind after I get home, take my shower, get some food in me, and then I can start messing around with some stuff. But, yeah, now I'm trying to do something else with the music anyways. So, I mean, I'm still doing my art projects, still doing my comics, but, you know, I'm not necessarily focusing on that as like a trying to do a business at the moment. But so like with your creative properties, I mean, I guess it's kind of obvious, like you wouldn't, well, no, it's not necessarily obvious. Not everybody does it to make a living off of it, but it seems with all the work you put into this stuff, you probably, that would be like what you'd really want is to do your own properties. But is that, do you see yourself kind of doing that like eventually, or do you, you know, what's kind of the status on that side of things?
Yeah. I mean, I think I do. And I think a lot of it again is what I said, you need to kind of build an audience. And right now I don't have that audience because, you know, I could design, say, a t-shirt, but I don't think I have a big enough audience to sell that on, like, at least not, you know, I've done like some pop culture parodies, and again, that's stuff people can relate to. And I've sold some of those kind of shirt designs or whatever, but it's not my own creation. It's a parody. It's a take. It's, you know, kind of my take on something that's out there. And because people know that, that's kind of, they have a built-in audience. But for my own stuff, I need to kind of build that audience before I can really sell it. And a lot of that is doing the YouTube or going out to shows, but I've seen people that do it, and I've seen people that have started off with other jobs and just done these shows, and they keep at it, and they've got a really good plan, and they've made it happen to the point where they can quit their job, and their wives can quit their jobs, and they can do this stuff full time, going to shows and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely something that I know I can do. It's going to take some time, but that is, you know, I guess if there was any kind of end goal, that would probably be it. Yes. To do my own thing and have, you know, people that like what I'm doing and are willing to, you know, support me and all that kind of stuff. So, but it's going to take a little while, but you know, I mean, when I do go to shows and things and I meet people and I get these reactions, it's kind of a great confidence booster, and people like your stuff and everything, and I'm able to, so far I've been able to profit at every show that I've done, which is good, because a lot of people that go to like conventions and stuff, they say, well, you don't always even break even, but you know, and I don't know what this says about me, but I mean, I do love doing this, but I also have to keep the lights on and the bills paid and food in my kids' stomachs and all that kind of stuff. So I need to find some way to make it profitable for me. So,
And I think
so when I go with the intention that I'm not going to just break even, that I'm going to make a little more money, you know, pay the table and make somewhat of a profit. And if that doesn't happen, then the next time I got to regroup and come up with another plan. So, but so far, you know, and it's not always like a huge profit. Like the first show I did really well, so I kind of thought that was going to be the case for every show. So the next show I upgraded to a bigger booth, and I probably made about the same as I did with the smaller booth. So then I'm thinking, well, do I go back to a smaller booth or whatever? And, you know, I talked to some other people, and they said, well, give the larger booth another shot, because once you're kind of out there with the big guys, you know, a lot of it is perception, and if you're out there with them, then people start to think you're one of them, and then eventually, you know, if that's where you want to be, you know, why not try to go there and see if you can kind of make that happen. So we'll see what happens. Like next time I go to like Phoenix Comic Con is the big one that I do, but they're going to do another one coming up that I'm going to try to get into, and it's a little smaller show, but so I'm going to do just a smaller booth and see what I do. But yeah, I'm still kind of learning how that works, but there's so many of these out there. If I can get to the point where I can travel to other conventions, and the more people that know about me, and I think that's the way to do it. So, you know, it's slow going, but eventually that's where I want to be. I want, you know, people to look at Cirqueworks and go, oh, I know that guy. That's the guy that does all these sci-fi, you know, retro future robots and aliens and all that kind of stuff. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think you definitely, like I said, I'm glad you started the YouTube thing, because I wouldn't have known this before, but I think you definitely have the stuff to make it happen. You know, seems like you're pretty organized and like you, we've been talking about kind of here a little bit, and we should probably get into this little topic that we were going to talk about. You have like a really good presentation with whatever it is that you do, and you know, that's obviously kind of a big part of what you do. I mean, just to every detail, like it kind of amazes me. Like what got you kind of fixed on that as something that really, you know, is kind of become a strength of yours, you know, to get the presentation really just spot on.
Yeah, it's just started off from when I first, I mean, obviously with art, I mean, you're selling art, and when you do that, anywhere you look, is artwork, and that's what people see, and that, whether it's a movie poster, whether it's, you know, a package on a box of laundry detergent or whatever. I mean, art is out there, so I mean, it just stands to reason that if you want somebody to see something, you put art on it, and you make sure that art represents what you're doing. So that's kind of what I've been doing. But I guess, like, for like my booth design and everything, I mean, that kind of stuff, it all started off, so the first art job I ever had, I worked for an architectural firm, and they had an in-house graphic design firm, and we did all these, we did a lot of these mall food courts and mall stores, and we had some really cool clients. Like, we had the, way back when there used to be a Warner Brothers studio store where they would have like, you know, all the Bugs Bunny characters and, you know, and the DC Comics and all that kind of stuff. And so that was one of our clients, and we had like, they were also, to a lesser extent, there were like Sesame Street General Stores, I think they were called. So I got to work with the Muppet stuff, and I got to work with, you know, Looney Tunes and DC Comics and all the Warner Brothers properties. And if you're old enough to remember, if they had these in your city, in your malls, these Warner Brothers studio stores, they had these really elaborate displays out front with, you know, in Atlanta there was one where there was a train busting out of the ground and Bugs Bunny was hanging out of the front car and Daffy Duck was off to the back. And then there was one with a big giant Viking pirate ship that was just suspended from this two-story mall with all the Looney Tunes characters. And they would do a different theme in every mall they were in, and just these elaborate displays. And I think part of that, you know, some of that was what kind of got me into this presentation thing with all that. And then after that at job, I got involved with a guy who he had a pet gibbon ape, which is kind of like it looks like a monkey. It's actually an ape, but it's they're these little, if you've seen a gibbon, you'll know they've kind of got a white, like, kind of mane around them, and they're either like buff color or black with the white. But he had this little guy as a pet, but he wanted to make him kind of a role model for kids. So I hooked up with him, and we created this whole world based around this, and we developed a children's show and everything. And so we had a couple false starts, and we hired some people to do set designs, and some of them were like, people were really expensive, and what they gave us was just garbage. You know, it was stuff that they had left over from some other set that really didn't fit what we were doing. And so I started doing research and started talking to some companies and how they do, you know, some of these props and thing. And a lot of them are made out of these big blocks of like styrofoam, and you can carve it away and you can shape it and do all kinds of things with it. And then you hard coat over it. Like if you go to Vegas, I mean, pretty much a lot of the stuff you see in Vegas, all those crazy sculptures and everything, a lot of that stuff is foam underneath. So I mean, it's this really cool medium. And like, I don't know if you have P.F. Chang's where you're at.
Yeah.
A lot of them have these two big giant like Trojan horse looking things out in the front.
Okay.
Those are all foam underneath. But anyway, so I talked to some people that did that, and we hired one company to do a couple props for us, and then we started to figure out how to design a lot of these other set designs and props ourselves. And I don't know, I just kind of took to it, and it seemed to just be a natural medium to work with. So I started working with this foam a lot, and we built all the sets, and it looked really great and everything. And at the end, we shot a pilot, and it came out great, and it got optioned by a studio out in Hollywood, and we thought it was going to go somewhere, but it didn't. But that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what, you know, that's television in general. You hear all these pilots never go anywhere, but it was a great experience, and I kind of learned how to do, you know, this stuff from there. And then later on, when I started Cirqueworks, my own company, and it's kind of evolved a little bit from, but it's always had this weird Rube Goldberg-esque kind of laboratory factory type vibe to it, and I guess that originally just came from Works, which, you know, it's just the name of the company is just a play on my name, which is Circling, so I just shortened it and put Works. So I thought, oh, Works, it's like a factory, it's something that it's got a gear as the O as the logo and all this stuff. So and then as I started, as I kind of went on, and I wanted to have it not be so much just the, you know, what, you know, my freelance illustration business, I wanted it to be my, you know, passion projects and everything. I've already got this brand established. How can I transition this to what I want to do? And I thought, well, in addition to being a factory, it kind of has this weird laboratory vibe to it. And I, you know, I was thinking, well, here's the things I like to do. I like robots, and I like zombies, and I like aliens and all this stuff. So how can I take all these things and kind of make them feel like they're under the same umbrella? And I'm thinking, well, a zombie virus usually breaks out of some kind of laboratory. You know, there's laboratories that, you know, maybe using alien DNA to make chemical weapons or whatever, or robots are created in factories. So I just thought, well, what if it's this weird kind of mad scientist place where we're creating all this stuff that's going to eventually bring the end of the world, but in a fun way, I guess.
You know? I love that.
Take something awesome. Very grim, but make it fun with like cute robots and cute zombies and all that kind of stuff.
Bring it on the end of the world in a fun way. It's awesome.
So that's kind of what I use to kind of bring it all together, and it seems to work. And, you know, it works great, but then there's other, you know, I had a children's book that I really like, and it's like halfway completed, but it doesn't have anything to do with those, so I just kind of let it kind of sit there on the back burner probably forever, because it's called Everything a Kid Needs to Know About the Family Vacation. It's just all my adventures of traveling cross country when I was a kid, and all the different things you experience and what you do. And it's kind of a fun book, but I don't know if I'll do anything, because I kind of found a focus now, and pretty much whatever I do that's not freelancer, I'm not doing for somebody else to kind of fit into that brand. So, right. So yeah, and that's kind of what I'm going to start doing once I start doing this next YouTube project, is kind of explain a little more what that is all about and how it all ties into, you know, the Cirque stuff. Because when I did the 100 days, people know the comic book itself, which has that zombie theme, and that's kind of how I fit it into that whole brand, because it's, you know, again, zombies were created in this Cirque Works factory, even though it doesn't really say that in the comic books, but theoretically it fits. Right. So, but I want people to know more about the other stuff that I'm doing as well, so I'm going to focus a little bit more on that kind of stuff when I kind of return to YouTube. And I'll still be doing like updates on the comic book and all that stuff, just kind of pretty much the same as I was doing with the 100 days, but just once or twice a week, let people know what the progress is and everything. So.
Right. And you started doing those fan art Fridays and just these other drawing videos and stuff. So that's cool. So have you been keeping up with that? Like, I haven't kept up with this stuff, so my bad on that. But
I've been putting out. Since I started doing that Fan Art Fridays, which is just me doing fan art, because again, I like drawing like Marvel characters, and I like drawing characters from Star Wars or whatever. It's fun for me, but it doesn't really fit into everything else I'm doing. But people do, again, they gravitate. If somebody does a search, they're not going to search for me. They're going to search for Rocket Raccoon or something like that. So I thought, well, I'll just put one day aside where I do kind of fan art stuff. And I've been doing more of that, because I've been doing the Inktober thing, and I got on the Star Wars kick. But now I think I'm going to start doing some more original stuff for that if I keep that up. But yeah, I just wanted to set one day aside just to do kind of fan art and get my fan art fix. And then the rest of the stuff kind of concentrate on my own personal, you know, my own ideas and things. So yeah, I've put one out. I haven't done this Fridays yet. I usually try to do it Thursday, which is, as we're recording this, this Thursday's tomorrow. So I got to figure out what I want to do so I can keep that going. But yeah, so far, and like I said, I'm still trying to pay catch up after my little vacation. But yeah, I'm gonna continue to do that for as long as I can, and as long as I like doing it. Yeah. You know.
Absolutely. And I know you've kind of hinted at it, and I don't know how much you wanted to get into it, but did you want to get a little bit into, you know, what you do have planned for, you know, YouTube, all the YouTuber fans in the soon to come? Absolutely.
So, I'm still coming up with some ideas and everything, but in general, it's going to be called Cirqueworks Art Lab, and it's going to be kind of the whole... that Cirqueworks vibe, and I'm building a set right now that kind of looks like a factory. And the idea is that, and I'm going to create an intro for all this, but the idea is that through some sort of scientific comic booky style mishap, an evil clone of me was created, and he has imprisoned me inside this underground volcano and forced me to create all these weapons of mass destructions, whether it's zombies or aliens or robots and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a drawing show where I'm basically in this little cave or a cavicle, like a cubicle, and I'm just doing drawing demos of everything that my evil clone is making me do and forcing me to do. So that's kind of the idea behind it. And then so it'll just be drawing me taking, you know, I'll get an assignment that I have to create some kind of cross between a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a, I don't know, whatever. So these weird things, and create that and draw it, like draw a blueprint of it or draw a sketch of it. And the idea, I think, is what, you know, I want it to be a drawing show, but I don't want it to be this is how you draw so-and-so. This is how you draw something. I want it to be a theme, like an idea. And the idea is hopefully that other people will take that same idea, like, this is what we're going to draw today, you know, kids or adults or whoever. I want it to kind of be open to just anyone, adults, kids, whatever, and have, you know, them take this idea and do their own version of it. So we may combine like two different things, like I said, a Tyrannosaurus Rex with a rocket backpack or something like that, and then have, you know, I'll do what I think and I'll give some ideas of what's going through my head when I create this, and then have other people kind of hopefully, you know, and hopefully have people send in, or not send in, because this is now, you know, email me pictures of what they've done and I can show it and do all that kind of stuff. But I just, you know, I'd like to do like an old-fashioned kind of like, you know, an art show where you've got an artist and people are watching it and they draw along with it and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the plan, but I still got a lot of work to do. So for now, it's going to be kind of me doing more updates and things on the comic book while I'm getting all this other stuff done. But that's what I'm planning on doing. So and then I'll probably, if you know me, I always got to pitch my products and stuff. So I thought it'd be fun, like, we'll go to commercial and be a commercial for one of my prints or something like that, and it'll be real goofy and everything will tie into the whole Cirque theme. So
absolutely, that sounds really awesome. That's like, it to me, I think it's like a it's an entertainment art show.
Yeah,
from what you're describing.
Yeah, and I, you know, I don't know if I'm the best person to, because I'm, you know, I don't know if I'm the best on-screen talent to pull it off, but, you know, I'm going to give it a shot, you know, and see what happens. And it's, you know, it should be fun. I want to try to make it so it's not a chore, you know. So I want to put, like, I want to put some upfront production and, like, a little intro and everything like that. But I want it to be something that hopefully doesn't require too much editing. I'd like to throw in some sound effects and things like that, and but I want it to be something that I can, that's fun, and because the set's already built, so I've kind of got something cool for people to see, and hopefully that production value will be there and me still be able to film it on my iPhone and not spend a whole lot of time editing, because I don't want it to be a chore. I want it to be something fun and that I can just sit and draw, kind of like, you know, what I was doing before, where it doesn't take a lot of time for all that other stuff. Because I just watched one of Kevin Cross's latest videos, and I guess he's kind of changing his format, because he said that it was just getting too difficult to do all the editing and things like that. So he's kind of got to go back to what he was doing before with the, you know, with the 100 days, kind of where it's just some talking, which is great, because I think that's why, that's what kind of built his audience around that, because that's what people really enjoy. So I, you know, in doing this, I want it to be, you know, I want it to be something that looks real good and everything, hopefully, but, or as good as it can be, you know, it's a YouTube show and again, it's shot on my camera, but I want it to be something that I can handle, you know?
Right.
So we'll see.
You know, like we've been saying, you know, you're playing to your strengths when you're messing with presentation, you know, not,
yeah.
You know, yeah, it might be a little tough for someone, you know, else to do it and kind of have a little extra presentation type of thing. But, I mean, I think for you, that's kind of part of what you're really into. Like, it's not just about the art for you. Like, you like doing that. It goes to show just by the fact that, you know, when you showed, like, your studio stuff and you showed, like, the picture, like, all the art on your wall, you know, everybody thought that was, like, a mural that you just, like, plastered up there. But no, you actually painted it. Like, you just into that. And then you've also talked about doing, you're like, oh, I got to get ready to do the costumes for my kids and stuff. You know, you're all, it's, like, everywhere for you. So I think for, you know, for you, playing to your strengths in that way is, I think it's going to, I think it's going to treat you well.
Yeah, I guess I used the wrong choice of words when I said, it, you know, it, that I can do it and enjoy doing it, and that it's doesn't get too overwhelming. Not because I don't. I mean, if I was independently wealthy and I could do that all day long, then that's what I'd be doing. But also, you know, it's the, I guess, the time factor that takes right. me away from other stuff that I really should be doing, like working on.
Yeah.
Stuff that pays the bills and everything. So that's more of my concern, not that, you know, that I wouldn't enjoy doing it, because right. yeah, like I said, if I had all the money in the world, I'd make some kick-ass YouTube videos. So. and I wouldn't worry about it. I just have fun with it. But yeah, it's not, that's not really the situation I'm in. So I just have to be cognizant of, you know, how much time I'm actually investing into it. You know, unless, you know, if the you know, best case scenario, people really gravitate to it, and I'm able to make a little money off of it, then that's great. But for right now, I just, you know, start off kind of slow. And that's another problem that I have, because I am kind of big in this whole presentation, and sometimes I get a little overboard, and so I kind of got to pull the reins back and say to myself, don't get too crazy now, just do something cool and fun that people are going to like, but don't, you know, you can add more to it as you go, and as you kind of, because, you know, I kind of gave you this idea what it's about, but it may evolve from that. You never know. Once you start doing it, maybe people don't like a certain aspect of what I'm doing, but they like something else, and that's what they gravitate to. So I kind of got to keep an open mind as far as that goes too.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, you know, build from that. And, you know, you see all these things that were, you know, that we look at, you know, nowadays as like, oh, this is just something that's been around forever and it's awesome. But when you look at like the early works of it, it always looks a little bit different. Like Bart Simpson, for example, or even like the Peanuts characters and stuff like that. So, so yeah, I think that will definitely happen. I hope the best for you with that. And I think that, I think you'll do well with that. And, I definitely look forward to seeing those videos for sure. And I think it's really cool to, that you're doing something like, it's a different thing. Like, there's a lot of artists on YouTube drawing, you know, which I think is awesome. Like, people get a lot of hits from that, but, you know, sometimes you gotta kind of find ways to kind of break out from the mold of what everybody else is doing, and kind of bring your own unique twist to it. And, you know, I think it's cool that you're going an entertainment route. I remember, like, Kristen Middleton was doing some videos, and she did a couple ones where she was drawing, like, things, and she had, like, these really, like, funny, like, almost, like, sarcastic type of, like, funny commentary to it. And it was, like, I loved it, and I'm sure that thing got, like, a million views. Well, not a million, but a lot of views. And, you know, it's just interesting to see, like, there's some people on YouTube who are huge, like, YouTube stars, and they don't even, like, make anything. They just goof off, you know? And basically, no matter what, you know, people will just watch them. They don't care what they're talking about. They just want to see them do something, you know, or say something funny. So I think it's really cool that you're going kind of an entertainment route with it. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing how that comes out.
Yeah, I mean, because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do something a little different, and, you know, so and I'm not the best as far as searching things on YouTube, so maybe there's some other stuff out there, but I was just looking at drawing videos, and I didn't really see anyone really doing what I wanted to do, which is good, because I don't know if you follow Drawing with Jazza. Have you heard of his channel?
Yeah, I like his stuff.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, he's got a really, really successful YouTube channel, but he's got one video, and I don't remember the actual title for it, but it's something everyone should check out if you're wanting to do this YouTube thing. But it's basically how to kind of be successful on YouTube, more or less. I mean, everyone's, you know, what works for one person is not going to work for everyone or whatever. But it kind of shows how his channel started and where it went through. But one of the thing was, you know, he says there's a million people out there doing video game reviews. So you could start a YouTube channel that you do video game reviews, but unless you have something different, I mean, you're just going to get lost in the shuffle. So, you know, I knew kind of what I wanted to do, and I wanted to, you know, so I looked out there, and I didn't see anyone doing that kind of, you know, art show. And I'm like, this is kind of an art show that I really like to see, and I don't see it, so why don't I just do it myself, you know?
Yeah, I think those are some of the best ideas, for sure. And, I mean, even the 100 Days of Comics, you know, Kevin, I think, was like that, you know. I mean, he saw some examples, people doing something different, that with other things, but, you know, he's like, nobody's doing this with comics, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And he did it, and look what happened.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, sometimes we just overlook those kind of opportunities or those ideas. Well, I'm trying to think that when I was camping, I had this idea, and that's probably nothing I'll do, but we were camping, and there's this guy out there with us, and he was totally plastered. And he's just talking to these there's kids there with us, and he's talking to them, telling these stories, and I'm like, I need to make a video show of drunk guys talking to kids. And I just thought this would be so funny. I'll probably never do it, but stuff like that, and it's like I just said, I'll probably never do anything, but maybe somebody will and it'll become huge. But it's these little ideas that you've got to know when to grab them and say, yeah, I'm going to do this. This might be a thing. But a lot of times, you know, they just pass us by and we don't, you know, really take advantage of those ideas or those inspirations when they come to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. So, I think we talked about a lot of stuff here, and I think there's some good stuff in there for the listeners. And, you know, it was really good to, talk to you finally, kind of more one-on-one, and just to have you on the show, too. I've been wanting to have you on since you started doing the 100 Days of Comics, because I was impressed right from the get-go. So,
yeah, well, I'm glad I finally got a chance to do it, because I've been wanting to do it for a while, but it's just every time you send me a message, oh, can you do it now? I'm like, no, I can't. So I'm glad I did finally get a chance to do it. So
absolutely.
So hopefully it won't be the last time too. So.
Oh no, you're definitely more than welcome to come on again, for sure.
And if you get, I know it's late and I don't know what your work schedule is, but a lot of times, I've been doing a lot of those art hangouts and everything, and the studio synergies and all that kind of stuff. But it would be cool if you do have an opportunity to pop on, because it's a good way to, you know, chat together with other people and stuff. But yeah, I find those, I try to do those whenever I can, whenever my schedule allows it.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I've been on the Artcasters a couple times, and then also, I think I chimed in on. Peter Palmiotti's got a few of them that he does, outside of actually publishing, and I've chimed in on at least one of those before. But I love just sitting in on those, and you can get some work done even while you're sitting there too, so it's cool. But yeah, absolutely, man. So so we'll close it out. I mean, we could chat a little bit after or whatever, but you know, just for everybody else, you know, let everybody know once again, you know, what your links are, so they can go and check your stuff out.
Okay, so the main link, I guess, and it's my website. It's not updated much, but there's, you know, I got a store set up there. There is a blog, but it's not really updated that much. But if you go there, it's certworks.com, S-E-R-K-W-O-R-K-S. And if you go there, there's a section, I think it says contact. And if you go there, it's just got a list of all the different social networks I'm on. So, and a lot of the stuff is the same things. Like, I'll post the same things to various social networks. But different people like different social networks. So if you're into Tumblr, I'm on Tumblr. If you're into Facebook, I'm on Facebook. If you're into all of them, you're going to see some of the same stuff from me.
Yeah.
But just depending on what your favorite is, you know, I'm also on, like, Instagram and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm pretty much most of the major ones. So yeah, if you just go to surfworks.com, if you want to find me on whatever your particular favorite social network is, go to the contact page and I'll list those. And there's also, like, it'll list, like, I've got some pop culture parody t-shirt designs on, like, Redbubble and TeePublic and all that kind of stuff. That stuff's up there, YouTube channel, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the big one right now that I'm most active on is probably the YouTube channel. So that's just, I think it's just Cirkworks, you know. Yeah. Everything is either Cirkworks or Scott Cirkland, but hopefully, the good thing about having a name like Cirkworks is no one else has it, so I'm usually able to secure those domain names or those extensions. The only problem is some places, like, yeah, I think it's, I don't know if it's Google Plus or certain ones, they don't want you to use anything but your real name, so on those ones I've got to use my name. But
yeah.
Other than that, I'm Cirkworks, but shouldn't be too hard to find me.
Yeah.
You just Google Cirkworks, you'll find me.
Absolutely, and if you come to donkeyjawprojects.com and check out the podcast area this week, you're going to find this stuff too, because I'll be throwing the links in there. So definitely check that out, guys. And I would really 100% suggest that you go to Cirkworks.com, click on the store or shop or whatever it is, and click on that Young and the Dead and press purchase, because That's a good book. Like, it's no joke. It's fun. It's just, like he said, you know, the zombie stuff meets the Goonies. I mean, that's what it is. And when I read it, I was impressed by the story and the art and the whole presentation. But the story was really that kind of story that just really catches you. So, you know, go check that out. Buy that. Buy it. I'm doing the hard sell for you, Scott.
Thanks, Marshall.
Yeah, but
you did probably do it myself.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't have any shame about that.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, like I said, it was good to talk to you, and yeah, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you on the next Escape Artist Podcast next week.
Thanks, Marshall.
Absolutely. See you later, guys.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.